Last week, I challenged the men in here to pray for an hour. I've been tweeting out every day, pretty much. Got a couple ladies saying, what about us? Y'all can pray, go ahead, but I'm jamming up the men. I was in the movies 2 days ago watching Mission Impossible, and right before the Mission Impossible movie played, they showed a preview of this new movie coming out about Navy SEALs. Did anyone see the preview of that? What's it called? Valor, something Valor? Heart of Valor, and it was like a 5-minute clip, and my son is sitting 4 seats down, and every now and then I forget that I'm in a movie and I'm supposed to whisper. And when that thing went off, I turned to my son and said, I want to see that 5 times. It's a man's movie. And when I was watching this movie, there was many things that had jacked me up about it, but I was thinking about the power of a man of God. When a man of God taps into all the power of God, we don't have that yet. I don't feel I have it yet. So I was watching this movie, looking at it in the spiritual, from the physical to the spiritual. My prayer for this church in this series and this year, and hopefully leave for the rest of our lives, is that we would tap into the power of God, and that we wouldn't just come to church as a habit on Sunday, that we really want all that God has made available to us. In this series in worship, these next 5 weeks, worship is not about singing. You can sing and not be worshiping. Matter of fact, some people sing worship to God like, God, you are holy. You are the most amazing thing in the world. Really? So my prayer to you, for you, for us, is that this series would transform all of us and that you would really come to a clear picture of who God is, who you are, how we should respond to him, and that God would do something supernatural in our midst. We study, we prepare, we decorate all this stuff for all these different series, and we do it hopefully that for the purpose of revealing God to you, that God would do something in your life supernatural. And so that's my prayer for you for this series. And I'm going to end where I started with all you guys in here. Give God the hour. There's an MMA fighter here, and he told me Tuesday, he says, I went in my room, I shut the door, and I turned everything off, and then I was there, and I didn't know what to do next. I says, brother, you did 99% of it. All you got to do is make yourself available. And if all you do is go sit in a room, trust me. If all you go do is sit in a room, trust me, if all you go do is sit in a room and shut your mouth and say, God, here I am, and you do that every single day. Oh, you could read a little Bible here, you could read a little devotion here, you could pray here, whatever, but make yourself available to God every day and say, God, here I am. Watch what God does. Just try it. Turn the TV off. Hey, listen, there's a football game on. Y'all see the football game? There's 2 more games. You'll see all the highlights. Just get it out of the way. Give God his time. Get up early in the morning. God wakes some of y'all up before the sunrise. You're like, man, and it's too dark. I got to stay in the bed. Because we're training our mind. If it's dark, I need to be asleep. You know, the Bible says Jesus got up often before daylight when no one could be chirping in his ear. Jesus, give me this. Jesus, give me that. Jesus, give me this. He said, I got to get up and get away from all that stuff so I can focus on the Father. If Jesus prayed every day, how much more do we need to pray? So that's my prayer for you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would transform our hearts and our lives. And I pray, God, for the supernatural baboom power in our life. Lord, I pray men would step up and give you what you deserve, their undivided devotion. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you do what only you can do in our lives. Change our hearts. Change our desire. And it's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Word. One more time, say word. Word. Let's see your pens. Yeah. Lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. I want to welcome everybody watching online. God bless all y'all. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is a miniature Bible. It has 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 books. The Old Testament is 39 chapters. The first part of Isaiah is 39. I'm sorry, the Old Testament has 39 books. Isaiah, the first part, has 39 chapters that are focused on the judgment of God. The New Testament has 27 chapters. The second half of Isaiah is 27 chapters focused on hope. So Isaiah is like a miniature Bible. And in chapter 6, God is going to call Isaiah into the ministry. And he is going to have a life-changing experience. It's going to teach us about worship. I have three children, 26, 25, and 23. And when my oldest daughter was about 7 or 8, give or take, 5 or 6, she was a little kid, maybe 5 or 6, she was in the living room dancing, just kind of dancing around like this, twirling around, and I was videotaping her. And in the background, her little sister, who's 15 months younger, was in the background going, "Daddy, I can't hear it." So my other daughter's dancing. And my other daughter's going, "Daddy, I can't hear it, Daddy, I can't hear it." And we're like, "What is she saying? I can't hear it." What she was saying was she couldn't hear the music that she saw her sister dancing to. But there was no music. It was all in my other daughter's head. When you live a life of worship, you dance to music no one can hear. You have wisdom people can't hear. It's available to them. You have power. They don't know where you get it. It's available to them. But all of a sudden, your life is unexplainable. People look at your life and go, I don't know where you get that from. How you do that? How do you get those opportunities? God. God. And so my prayer is that people watch your life and go, "I can't hear it." And they walk up to you and go, "What is it? What is it about you?" And you just say one name, Jesus. Jesus. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's read. "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above it stood seraphim." Seraphim is plural for seraph. Seraph is an angel of fire. God made his ministry angels like fire. Can you imagine going to heaven and seeing angels made of fire? You ain't messing with those bad boys. It said each one had 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their face, with 2 wings they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew, and they cried to one another. Everybody say one another. They cried to one another, "Holy, holy, holy." Say with me, say holy. Holy. Say holy. Holy. Say holy. 3 is the number of divine perfection. God is divinely, perfectly holy. The Father is holy. The Son is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. He said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I have a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew, having in his hand a live or living coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin is purged." And also I heard a voice saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go with us?" And then I said, "Here I am, send me." Right at the top of your notes, not the first point, but the top of your notes, it says, worship is a response of respect at the revelation of God. Worship is not necessarily singing. It is whatever response of respect at the revelation of God that you give. In Genesis chapter 4, Abel sacrificed animals to God, bloodshed, just like God told Adam and Eve to do. In Genesis chapter 14, Abraham gave a tithe as a part of worship. Exodus chapter 3, Moses took off his shoes when he stood at the burning bush as an act of worship. David danced as an act of worship. In 2 Samuel, I was with my brother. My brother played for Syracuse University 20-something years ago. He was a quarterback. In the one game I got to go to, he threw 4 touchdowns in the first half. They took him out. And we're walking after the game. They destroyed this team. And he was All-American. He was the man, all kind of stuff back there, Heisman runner-up. And he's walking down the street on his campus. And this girl walks up to him and says, "You're Don McPherson." And she grabs his crusty, old, nasty Nivea kneading hand. Nivea's hand lotion, for all y'all don't know who Nivea is. And she grabbed his hand, and she kissed his hand. And I was like, ew. That's worship. So what do you do when God is revealed to you? The degree to which you worship God is directly proportional to how you view God. Look at number 1 in your notes. Number one says, worship happens when you see clearly the holiness of God. Worship is a spontaneous, I can't help myself, response to God. And God reveals something to you about himself. When you see the sunset, you watch people view the sunset, especially if you're by the ocean or wherever it is, and you see a lot of people at a restaurant, they all will stop pretty much, and they'll just stand and stare at the sun. How many of y'all seen this before? How many of y'all done it? And the thing about it, it's the same every day. I mean, well, it's the same. The clouds are different, but it's an orange ball. It's always an orange ball. And they just stand there, and they go, wow. And then it just... poof, into the ocean. The Bible says the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen in the things he has made. That's an act of worship. When you see a tiger, and you go, oh, that's so beautiful, it's an act of worship. When a doctor delivers a baby, and the doctor who delivered our children, I mean, they delivered thousands of babies, and they say every single time, it blows their mind that a living human could be in water for 40 weeks. That's you and me. Water for 40 weeks like this. 40, you couldn't do 4 minutes like that now. And you come out on this tight little canal. Hey, easy, big fella, easy, big fella. And you come out and you go, and your head is out. And they pull you out. And you're like, for the first time. And the doctor goes, it worked again. That's worship. The reason people don't worship God with all their might, because they don't see God. You think we're singing to the room. You think you're singing to the room, and or you don't believe that who you're singing to is listening. And you fail to see all the incredible things that God does on your behalf every single day. Look what Isaiah saw. Look what it says in verse 1. Isaiah's minding his own business. And he says in verse 1, he sees the king sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, the extent of his robe, or the extent of God's righteousness, fills the temple. He sees angels flying with 6 wings. What? 6 wings. What's that? Fire. With 2 wings, he covers his lower parts. Don't want to expose that to God. With 2 wings, he covers his face. He can't look at God. And 2 wings, he sings, and they cry out to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And he's looking at this. And by the way, let's keep reading. Look what it says. It says in verse 4, the post of the door was shaken, and from the voice who cried out, it was like an earthquake. I remember the first earthquake I had in California. It was 1982. I remember where I was. I was scared to death coming from New York. We don't have earthquakes. Everything is stable in New York. And all of a sudden, the pool water started shaking like a teacup. And I was like, yo, what's up? And my heart is like, I'm dead. I'm going to die. Now you just kind of ride it out and just let it go. Can you imagine someone that you're in a temple and it is shaking at the worship of the king? And look what he says. Verse 5, I'm undone I shouldn't be here. This is way above my head. Worship first happens when you first acknowledge who God is. Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy or above me is your name. That's how the Lord's Prayer starts. When Jesus said pray in this manner, what he wasn't saying say these words over and over again. What he was saying was here's a format, a structure, and the first thing you need to do is put God up. You need to acknowledge who God is. And when we worship God, we forget whether you're into the style of music. We have all kinds of styles, we got all kinds of people in here, and it's not always going to be what you like perfectly. Forget that. Listen to what you're supposed to be saying to God. Holy Spirit, come. Mean it. You know, if someone said Christian tell lies, and they also come to church and sing lies. Mean it. Holy Spirit, come. Get on your knees tonight when you leave here and go in a room, shut the door, and say over and over and over. This is not magic. Say over and over. Holy Spirit, come. And wait. Someone once told me, when you pray, you go into the room and you don't stop praying until you hear God. I remember the first time I tried it. Oh, by the way, it works. And I was scared because I was like in my room and the closet was open. It was dark. And I was like, yo, where is this voice going to come from? Is it going to be like James Earl Jones? You know, hey, Miles, where you been, brother? I've been waiting for you for 20-some years. I was scared to death. You know what God's voice sounds like? It's a small, still voice. Sounds like your conscience is just saying stuff your conscience wouldn't say. It's saying Bible stuff. In other words, if you ever wake up in the middle of the night and you hear a voice say, hey, why don't you start praying? That ain't you. You're laying in bed and go, oh, man, maybe I should pray. Maybe I should go back to sleep. You think that you're really thinking you should pray? No, your whole being, all this, is saying go back to sleep. God says, hey, let's pray. Oh, I ain't going to do any good now. Oh, yeah. You see God first. If you can see God, I just want to encourage you, ask God to reveal himself to you so you could see him everywhere. The Bible says the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen in the things that he has made. What is he made? What has he made? Everything. Except what man made. But what does that mean? Everything in the sky he's made. The ocean, the land, all y'all, all animals, all fish, all bugs, everything. And his invisible attributes, his wisdom, his power, his love, his creativity, his strategic thinking, his intelligence, his holiness, his patience is all seen in that stuff all day. And we walk right by it. And we take it for granted. When you go out of here and you see a tree, just know that tree has DNA. It has a code to identify that tree. You can take a leaf off a tree and trace the leaf back to that same tree because God got everything organized. The bomb. You see a hawk flying in the air, not even flapping his wings. Eagles can go for hours and just do this all day long. How many of y'all wish y'all could do that? Oh, my goodness. Just like just looking at people. Yeah, what's up, y'all? Yeah. I shouldn't say every time I see an animal, but a lot of times when I see animals, I tell my wife, I wish I could do that. We were on vacation a couple weeks ago, and there were spinner dolphins. Tell you what a spinner dolphin is. Spinner dolphins are about 5 feet long, give or take, and they spin. When they swim, they do that. I'm not lying. Hey, how many of y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what spinner dolphins are? And then, yes? Who doesn't? Just raise. It's okay. Don't worry. Okay, so these are cool dolphins. A lot of different kinds of dolphins. And matter of fact, you should Google and ask Google how many different kinds of dolphins there are and see the creativity of God. You know, there's 20,000, I believe, forgive me if I'm wrong, I got these numbers in my head, I believe it's 20,000 kinds of roses. God. But these spinner dolphins, they, when you're riding the boat, if they come up to your boat, which I had this happen as well, they would ride, they swim right up to your boat, and they swim, it wasn't my boat, it was like a cruise thing, you know, that thing you do, and they swim in the wake of the boat, and they do this with each other. They spin over around each other, and they flip around, and then they jump in the air and go, whoosh, doom, whoosh, boom. So where we were, there was a bay, and there were like hundreds of them came in the bay. People were actually swimming with them. And they were just dumping around. I said to my wife, I want to be a spinner. I want to be an eagle. I want to be a tiger. God's invisible attributes. Getting back to worship, we say, Lord, you are awesome. We need to see God for who he is. Number two, worship happens when you see yourself for who you are as a sinner. Whatever your lesson plan says. When you see clearly your sinfulness. Look what it says. It's kind of the same thing, right? Verse 5, it says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eye has seen the King. I am a sinner. Is anybody in here perfect without sin? Because we want to pray to you. We want to touch the hem of your garment so we can be healed. We want to follow you to your grave and see you rise in 3 days. Is anybody in here perfect? I didn't think so. We're sinners, but so often we forget that we're sinners. Why? How we talk about other sinners like there's something wrong with them. Something uniquely wrong with them. We talk about God like he's our peer. Or he owes us something. God is late. God didn't do what he was supposed to do. He wasn't fair to me. And all of a sudden, God is not up there and we're not down here. God is down here and we're up here. That's not worship. You ain't going to worship like that, because all you're going to do is worship yourself. God said, Isaiah, I have a job for you, but first we need to realign things. You need to know who I am. I am God. I'm never wrong. I am all righteous. God is not here to do what we want. He's here to do what's right, and he does what's right all the time. And he says, Isaiah, you need to know who I am, and now you need to know who you are. You are, and you need to confess this idea and acknowledge this, that you are a sinful man. And Isaiah, in my presence, you deserve death. God is not fair. He is righteous. I was talking to someone recently about God sending people to hell, and he says, if God was a loving God, he wouldn't send people to hell. I said, no, God sends the people to hell because he's a loving God. Well, how is that? Figure that. Well, all your life you told God you didn't want to have anything to do with him. So he lovingly gave you what you want. He's going to send you to a place where you never have to see him or hear about him ever again. But if he was fair, he would have done that the minute you were born. But he lets you live. He lets you experience the pain of sin and the pain of rejecting him, hoping that one day you would acknowledge his love. So we're all on borrowed time. And so we need to say, Lord, thank you for my borrowed time. And by the way, the closer you get to God, and this is how kind of you know you're getting close to God, is the more you realize how jacked up you are. But if you think that your stuff don't stink, you are far from God. If you think you are all that, you are far from God. Because the closer you get to God and the more you see his holiness, the more clearly you see your sinfulness, and the more clearly you know you need him. And so if you find yourself wanting to pray, wanting to worship more, wanting to lift your hands, some of you come to church and you don't lift your hands in worship. Okay, we'll get there, whatever you, but you're like, it's like an earthquake. You're like, and your hands are going, let it go, brother, let it go. You're like, no. And you look at other people and they're like this. You're like, man, I wish I could be like that. I was in the Philippines. Gotta say the Philippines with a P, not an F. The Philippines. And in the Philippines, they say, kumusta ka? You say, mabuti. Kumusta ka is how are you? And you got to say, mabuti. But you can't say, mabuti. You got to say, mabuti. Thank you. It's one thing to say the right words. Another way to say the words right. So I was in the Philippines. And I was there for like 9 days or so doing some ministry. And I went to a youth group. And this was like, 15 years ago, I don't know, 20 years ago. And I remember this girl, she was a teenager, she was in this worship band in this church in a basement. They had a little band, seven people, whatever, and she was worshiping. And I'm looking at this girl, and I'm like, I couldn't get her out of my head. There was something supernaturally beautiful about what she was doing. It wasn't a beauty from man's perspective. It was a beauty from God's perspective. And I couldn't get it out of my head the whole time we were there. And we did, I was in meetings with her for several times, so I got to see her worship, lead worship several times. And her eyes were closed, and she was somewhere else when she was worshiping. And she was somewhere else, like, it doesn't matter. Are y'all still in the room? I'm worshiping my Father. I wanted that. I never forgot it. It's been 20 years or so. When we see God for who he is and we see ourselves for who we are and we respond, that's worship. Now, worship can be singing. It can be lifting your hands. It could be dancing. It could be just whispering. It could be laying on the floor. It could be being quiet. Whatever that response is. And there's no one response, by the way, and there's no one style. God is a creative God. Look around this room. Not one person, not two people look the same. Matter of fact, there's 7 billion people on the earth. Not two look the same, ever. God is so creative. And here's the other thing. He made all of us the same color. And yet we say, that's black, that's white, that's brown, that's this, that's that. We're all brown. The Mexicans are the only ones that got it right. They call themselves brownies. He's so creative. And so what he's saying is, you're going to worship me this today, this way. You're going to worship me this way. It's all variety. But the point is, are you responding at a respect to who God is? Thirdly, in your notes, thirdly, the worship happens when we submit humbly to serve God from the heart. Once you see God for who he is and you see yourself for who you are and what you are, the only thing you can say to God is, God, what do you want me to do? Thank you for letting me live. Thank you for letting me in your presence. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve you. I love you. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to give? Who do you want me to help? And the only thing that gets in the way is our pride. It's going to be embarrassing. Oh, you're going to feel uncomfortable. Someone might laugh at you, whatever. And those are all the little voices in our head that keep us back from worshiping God. And I remember the first time I raised my hand, I was in Chino State Prison visiting, doing ministry in the chapel, and I was sitting and I was like, I'm going to raise my hand in here because nobody in here knows me, and I ain't coming back. Ironically, I went back a whole bunch of times, but I figured this is my first time. And I remember doing the T-Rex thing. I was like this. And I was sitting in the pew in the front of the church, and no one's around, and no one could see me. I was like, and God was like, that's a start. That's a start. But when you see God, and you experience God, and you realize what you are and what you are not, you say to God, God, what do you want me to do? Look what it says. Verse 8, after he was purged, it says, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, once he saw God and once he saw his sinfulness and once he humbled himself before God and once God, the angel purified him, then he heard God's command. Question. There's so much God is saying to you or wants to say to you that you'll never hear until you go to first base first. You're never going to, there's blessings you'll never get until you go to first base first. And you're like, man, I want to do this, I want to do that. And God says, you know what? I probably put that desire in your heart, but you have to go to first base first. You have to take a step of faith first. When the Jews were crossing the Jordan River, going into the promised land, God told them, put your feet in the water, and once you put your feet in the water, then I will part the water. This is different from when Moses raised the staff, whole different deal. This is 40 years later. They had to put their feet in the water, and once they put their feet in the water, then the water got out. God says, I want to see a step of faith. And look what it says, verse 8. He heard a voice saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then it says, he said, here I am. Send me. In a minute, we're going to pray. And here's my challenge, encouragement to you. Let go. Let go. There's all these things in your life you want from God / need. And God is saying, I want to bless you, not necessarily with what you want, but with what you need and what he's put on your heart. And there's all these blessings he has assigned to you that he wants to bless you with according to his mercy and his plan. But you have to let go. You can't hold on to your life and grab his blessings at the same time. You have to let go. And you have to trust a God that has never, ever let you down. Ever. Has everything happened in your life that you liked? No, that ain't God's fault. That boyfriend, he cheated on me. God didn't tell you to date that fool. I mean, we can go on for hours on those scenarios, so you got the point. But from this point forward, you can say, God, here I am. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to come forward. You may need salvation. You may need prayer. You may need encouragement. You just, whatever it is, but you want to respond out of respect to what God has revealed to you. And my encouragement to you is this: if you seek him, you will find him. And if you haven't found him, you're not seeking, because he's everywhere. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for being God. We thank you for your faithfulness and your love and your mercy. If you want more God today, more peace, more courage, you want forgiveness, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I need you. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my burdens to you. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I cast my burdens on you. I cast my cares on you. I want all that you have for me. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'm just going to ask you right now to stand up in your seat, wherever you are. For whatever reason you prayed that prayer, just stand up in your seat. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 God bless you.